Microphone check.
Microphone check. This is Heath Mulliken from the Double Dropkick Show.
This is Mark Whitman, the guy who makes the Double Dropkick Show good.
Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And Happy New Year to everybody.
How you been, man?
I've been doing great. How about
you? For those that don't know, we have not seen each other.
Oh, man.
A month.
It's probably been the three count show.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, and we haven't, because it's been the holidays. And
you had some good time off with your wife and
great.
Rested.
2 weeks off, and I got all the crud out from it's back now because I worked a couple of days, but
yeah,
I got all the stuff out from under my fingernails and out of my hands got soft again. It was great.
Your hands got soft again.
Well, I get calloused up rough hands where I work at, and with 2 weeks off, like some of the calluses started going away.
Gotcha.
Because I'm gonna tell you the truth, man, I was in the road a lot. Going to a lot of different places, but man, I didn't hit a lick as far as physical exertion. I think I gained about 4 or 5 pounds.
Oh,
I got
my
back
goodness.
my blue collar that I actually do wear at work. Yeah. The blue collar coveralls that I wear were a little bit tighter.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, man, they must have washed these things in warm water. They shrunk up a little bit.
I got to go. We were at a youth convention in Indianapolis, and that was a lot of fun. Really good convention, and good break. It's always hard. The kids went back to school this week, and a certain team from a certain town is playing in the national championship. Matter of fact, if you're listening to this on January the 11th. This is when this episode's being released.
Allegedly.
No. Listen, I'm over my jet lag.
Okay. All right.
And I'm excited. I'm really.
I bet you are, man.
Twice in a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, well, but I mean, let's be honest. Back in 1981, we were, what, 5, 6 years old? I mean,
yeah.
It didn't mean a whole lot. I remember it. I remember my dad watching it and like getting excited about it. And it's kind of weird because I'm not a Clemson fan.
No.
I'm a Carolina fan, but you and I were talking earlier. I mean, there is this thing where, you know, it's hard when everybody understands college football rivalries.
Right.
And I'm not I don't follow the minutiae of sports. I'm not like I do with wrestling where I'm kind of aware of everything, all the big signings. And I'm not that. I casually watch football and I enjoy it. If my team has a bad season like Carolina did, it doesn't ruin my year. It doesn't ruin my day when my team loses. If I'm home and it's on, I watch it, but I don't stop.
What
I don't not go do anything that I want to do because a football game's on. But so there is this part of me that feels like I need to be pulling for Clemson because I do live legitimately
in the shadow
less than 10 minutes from the stadium and I grew up around the and that's one reason I don't like it. I'm sure there's a lot of wherever the major college is at, there are probably always people around it that don't like it because they've been surrounded with it and they've heard it their whole life, and that's kind of what it is with me. It's like I don't like Carolina as much as I dislike Clemson.
Dislike of Clemson is pure.
But I feel like I need to be pulling for them because it is a cool thing.
It really
is. For a school like that you grew up near. I mean, I drove through the campus to get over here today.
Yeah.
I drove past Jervey. I saw Death Valley out my right window.
Yeah.
I saw Little John Coliseum. On my way here to record this podcast today. So I literally did grow up right near the university.
Do you know how disappointing I was yesterday? I went to Clemson for lunch, and ESPN was there.
Really?
And they weren't there to see me.
Ah, who would have thought?
I thought they were coming. You guys, they've
it's
been
kind of like when we were at WrestleCade, and there was the guy with the press pass, and you walked over and said, hey, how do you go about getting a press pass? And he went, well, I'm with ESPN.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
There you go. We're filming a 30 for 30.
Filming a 30 for 30 on Ric Flair. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's how you got a press pass. How would someone like myself with our dozens and dozens of listeners go about getting
the
a
tens
press pass?
And tens of fans. So we want to start off, Mark has not yet seen Wrestle Kingdom. I have seen, most of it, but the big news in wrestling this week, is the 99% confirmed rumor.
Oh, I think WWE's talking about it. I mean, they're pretty much, you know, it's going to happen.
And Nakamura has even told the Japanese press.
Right. And he lost, right? Didn't Nakamura lose to...
He lost in a tag team match. He got pinned by Kenny Omega.
Right. That's what I was...
Then Kenny Omega cut a... Just a great...
Yeah. It was all right.
For him to be doing an English promo in a Japanese-speaking country.
Yeah.
Good promo. So you got... I can't say... Nakamura... AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, and
Carl Anderson,
who is just awesome.
Yeah, he reminds me of Arn Anderson a little bit. I mean, a bigger, you know, more aggressive in a lot of ways, but that's who he puts me in the mind.
But that those four men have signed with WWE, and that it's not, depending on who you listen to, they did not sign NXT contracts.
Well, now, see, this is that that Gallows and Anderson may have signed NXT contracts.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that AJ Styles and Nakamura signed WWE contracts.
Yeah.
And that they still may make a stop at NXT.
Right.
To shine them up a little bit.
Yeah.
But that these guys are going, and I don't think they're going to do that. I'll be honest with you. I think that any coaching that's going to happen about as much as you like the camera angles and stuff, I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because these guys have been doing it a long time.
That's correct.
And they've been doing, I mean, I just don't expect that. I think that you're going to see some surprise entrances in the Royal Rumble.
That's what I'm hoping. That's my, now, we have tickets to Ring of Honor events throughout January that, on AJ Styles' website, he is scheduled to appear at all three of those
in
North Carolina and Georgia.
And he may still honor those commitments. I mean, there's a, you know.
I'm just telling you, it has been a long – when was the – I mean, but was Bubba Ray in the Royal Rumble last year?
I think so, yeah.
That's really the last time that you've had a – I mean, I can't remember the last time there was a crossover person. That was a surprise.
True.
When that used to be the thing.
Somebody would show up, that you hadn't seen in a while.
So I'm hoping.
Because I remember the year that Mr. Perfect came out.
Yeah.
And had such a great performance. And one of the great things that I'm so happy about, or so happy, maybe that's a stupid way to say it, but one thing that I'm glad I got to see was I went to Raw the night after Royal Rumble, which had been in Atlanta, when Mr. Perfect came back, and I got to see Mr. Perfect live.
Oh, nice.
In Greenville, because he was, and that was, because he's always been one of my favorites. So I got to see Perfect before he passed away.
And that was not very long before he passed away.
No, it wasn't.
Because he was, I mean, you know, he was coming back for another, maybe... Not a
I think
main
he
event
came
run,
well but. He no I wasn't a main event run, but I mean he came back, he put on a good show in the Royal Rumble. He was just going to be a surprise entrant and did so good that I think okay, well, we can get some good matches out of him.
Yeah.
He's not going to be their world champion. He's not going to be the Intercontinental champion, but he can go out and make some other people look good.
Yeah.
And get some other people
and
over.
And at that point he had a lot to offer as far as his knowledge and so I'm really hoping that at least AJ or Nakamura, one of those two or both.
I would say AJ more probably before Nakamura, because I think Nakamura still has time left on his contract with New Japan, and he's going to honor those commitments. That's what I.
Yeah, he's got to drop. He's still the Intercontinental champion,
right?
And if you have, I mean, oh, that match with he and AJ.
So yeah, good. I can't wait to see it, man.
So good. I got right here on this computer that we're recording this on.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to give you a copy.
Sweet.
So I think so. I just hope.
Here's what I got to say. There's a great line from the movie Rock of Ages. What I'm going to need you to do is manage your expectations.
Right.
Because there is this thing. I hear everybody, I wish this guy would go to WWE.
Right.
And then they get there, and what happens? They strip them of everything that makes them who they are.
Right.
They have gotten better about that, though. I mean, they changed Kevin Owens' name, and they changed Finn Balor's name, and they changed Kenta's name.
Yeah.
But they essentially retained who they were.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to change AJ Styles' name.
I don't think so.
I think he'll be AJ Styles because he's known – and how great is it? He turned down the NXT contract.
Yeah.
A year or two ago.
Yeah.
Went out and made his name, and then he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing, I could be wrong, he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
He got the money he feels like he deserves.
Yeah.
But he ain't no young guy either.
No, he's mid-30s.
I don't think he's a guy. I do think it changed a little bit now that Cena's gone down again.
Yes.
To be bringing these guys in.
Yes.
You start thinking about you just start thinking about the guys that you could put AJ Styles in there with. Heck, you bring Samoa Joe up, and AJ and Samoa Joe have had 5-star matches.
Yeah.
AJ Styles and Finn Balor, man, Nakamura and Brock Lesnar, or Nakamura and Kevin Owens.
Wow.
And then you got Gallows and Anderson against the Dudleys, or against even the New Day, or the Usos.
Gallows
think about these
Anderson
guys in the
versus
Usos.
The Mechanics.
What's their name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why can't I think of their name?
Dash and Wilder.
Yeah.
Who also are a great 80s, like satin jacket 80s tag team.
So
I love
good,
it, man.
So good. I think you're right. I think for every fan hearing these rumors, we do have in our mind what we hope to see.
Yeah, what I don't want to see is Nakamura come out and his music hit and it go dun, 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 dun. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I'm not being a
right.
I'm just saying, I'm basing that on what I've seen WWE do with Japanese performers.
Tensai and
yeah, I mean they don't. Well, let's make him a samurai. See, you know what I mean? What I think, if it was, I think, and I've said this before, Vince. What I've seen with my eyes, anyway.
Yeah.
Anytime there's been this guy who was a phenom,
right?
That never came to WWE. And I always think about the two guys, Bruiser Brody and the Great Muta.
Yeah.
And then you think about the Road Warriors, when they wouldn't come, they created Demolition.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon's been trying to create Bruiser Brody for years.
Yeah.
Look at some of the guys that he's brought up who are 6'7", 6'9" in that area with long hair, bushy beards, the way they would come out.
Yeah.
Whether it was the Blues Brothers, you know, Jacob and Eli Blue, or the Berserker.
Yeah.
Or Mike Knox
a few years
ago.
Right.
And now Luke Harper, who was the closest to me to Brody of any of them.
Yeah.
Who has that same he doesn't have that X factor that Bruiser Brody has.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. But he's got the athletic ability to do what Brody could do.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the same charisma.
Right.
He doesn't have that same where you say, I don't know about everybody else, but that guy I'm afraid of because I think he really would kick my butt if he got his hands on me. That Bruiser Brody had. And I think ultimately that's what it was about Brody was he was believable. He had the same thing that Johnny Valentine and Wahoo McDaniels and Kevin Sullivan and guys like that had, who's a lot shorter in stature than those guys, but he looked like a tank and you believed because he worked stiff
because
he knew he had to work stiff to get over.
Yeah.
And Brody, we've talked about it. I don't know how we got this. Is again,
I love
we start talking about new stuff, and I start talking about Bruiser Brody because that's that's what I like. So let me stop talking about Brody because I've talked about it enough. and let's keep talking about.
Dude, when you start, when you start talking about what you're really passionate about, I mean, that to me is, I can sit here and listen to you talk about that. Yeah. You know? You mentioned some of the injuries. They just announced on Monday Night Raw, which I did not watch because I was watching Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I watched the Hulu show.
That Roman Reigns, the title is going to be on the line.
Yeah, and it was. I don't have a problem with that. That makes sense. We can't get the title off of you in this match with Vince McMahon being the referee. That didn't work. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to defend your title against 29 guys in the Royal Rumble match. Because certainly one of those 29 will be able to throw him over the top rope.
Right, right.
Is their thought. But to me, in order for that to work, he's got to be the first entrant.
Yeah, have they announced who any of the numbers?
Not yet that I know of. But I would have them come out next week and say, and I'm sure that's the plan, you're going to be number one.
So,
but that's how he's going to earn everybody. I think that last year the criticism of him was that he didn't do anything.
Right.
In the race.
The year before, he was a force to be reckoned with.
He should have had that performance last year.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think if this year you put him in first, and I said this about Lesnar, and I don't know that I wouldn't do it with Reigns, I'd have him throw 29 guys over the top rope. And I would have him go at it with everybody on the roster. And I'd have him take everybody out.
Truly.
Obviously, he's not going to throw 29 people. There's going to be some guys. But I'd have him single-handedly eliminate guys like Mark Henry and
whatever
Big Show.
Record is, have him shatter the record.
Right, and be first. But how do you get out of this?
But then let's say you did that, and so you got Roman Reigns looking strong as ever. Who do you bring against him at WrestleMania?
Well, how do you get out of Royal Rumble is what I'm saying. What's to me the only, and as much as I don't want to see it,
yeah,
the only thing that makes sense is for that 29, we get to 29, who's number 30, and it's got to be Triple H. And he's got to come out, and one of two things has got to happen. He's either got to screw Reigns over by bringing 10 other guys out with him and tossing Reigns over and Triple H winning the title and holding it hostage and making Reigns run a gauntlet to get a title match at WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
Right.
Can do that. You can work out some deal where, okay, you got to do this and this and this, and we've stacked the deck.
Right. Well, that's, you know. Yeah. We've said it. You've said it from the beginning. It's hard to make Reigns an underdog.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan was a natural underdog.
Yeah.
To their credit, they have, and we saw a little bit of this at Survivor Series, but Reigns is starting to get over.
He
won the title in Philly, I was so surprised by the reaction.
Yeah, I was too. I really was too, man.
I
thought they would have eaten him because they ate him alive at Royal Rumble.
Right,
I mean, that was that crowd. I think he's been helped by Daniel Bryan not being there.
Right.
And Randy Orton being gone, and John Cena being gone, and Brock Lesnar being gone, and The Undertaker being gone, and Cesaro being gone.
Golly.
I mean,
but this to
and
me,
and people want to pull for a badass. And if you actually have Triple H and Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon allowing somebody to get the last word on them,
yeah,
wow, who would have thought?
Yeah.
That this is working, because that hasn't happened. She always got the last word.
Yeah.
Triple H always was the guy standing there over the guy who's just taking a beating.
Yeah.
That's what they did. They sucked the life out of the room and out of the crowd. And they have the other week on Raw when she told him to get out of the ring and he wouldn't get out of the ring.
Yeah.
And then he turned his back on her. And she said, "Don't you turn your back on me." And he wouldn't turn back around to look at her. And then he steps out of the ring. And she goes, "Well, you get back in here. I'm still talking to you. You get back in the ring." And he hops down and walks off.
Yeah.
So he can't, obviously, he can't put his hands on a woman.
Right.
And that will always be the issue.
Yeah.
With her.
Yeah.
But what he could do is I would take a page out of the Rock's playbook and have him say, I can't, you know, I can't put my hands on you. Yeah. I'm not going to put my hands on a woman. But his cousin's in NXT right now.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
The big gal, the big Samoan chick that wrestled Bailey. You remember her? God, and I know it. It's on the tip of my tongue. I just forgot it as we were talking about it. But
the one
anyway,
that just wrestled.
Yeah, yeah. Bailey. She had the match with Bailey at the NXT TakeOver.
That Bailey just got the tar whipped out of her.
Yeah.
And just finally choked her out, I guess.
Yeah. It was a good match. Bailey's good, man. Bailey's good.
See, Bailey, again, is that good underdog.
She is. She is. I think she could be a female John Cena. I think she's that good.
I think that's what they want her.
Yeah, I do too. I really think
she's so likable.
She won't be on the main roster till they're ready to run with her as their number one female because she's better than all of them.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah.
And she earned that from me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to like her.
Right.
Till I started watching. I said, man, this girl's good.
Yeah.
This girl's good. And if you give her the opportunity to run, she can do it, man.
So I think what you just kind of laid out, Triple H coming out, screwing Reigns over.
Holds the title hostage, then you make Reigns run some kind of golf. Or Reigns just beats Triple H and you figure out somebody else for him to wrestle.
This is the thing about WWE, okay?
And Seth Rollins is out with an injury. I forgot that.
Pretty much from May to December, we all kind of poo-poo it.
Yeah.
But there is something about WrestleMania season. There is something about this time of year where it's like there's this hope. It normally gets crushed, but there's this hope that springs up that maybe this guy's going to debut, or maybe this will happen, or maybe that will happen. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. The last couple of years, I've felt pretty satisfied with WrestleMania. This year caught me way off guard with Seth Rollins cashing in. The year before, we all wanted Daniel Bryan to end up and have his WrestleMania moment, and that was great. And you had, so there's something about this season for the wrestling fan. These, you know, this 3 months and a week or whatever, it I don't know. It's like if you're a Cubs fan in baseball, when it's spring training, everybody's got a chance. Everybody's 0-0. So I love this. This is my favorite time of year.
Oh, yeah, wrestling. As far as wrestling goes, absolutely.
I mean, and it is the time when if you have not watched WWE, you'll watch Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And you'll pick back up and you'll be like, well, what's happening? You know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see some of these. Hopefully,
you think Daniel Bryan's coming back? What do you think?
I heard a great analogy the other day, and I don't think it's true, but I thought it would be great. About a year or so ago, Daniel Bryan proposed a match between he and Nakamura.
Right, right.
And I heard somebody say on Facebook, what if all this Daniel Bryan stuff is a work?
I don't believe that.
I don't either.
Because they need him.
Right.
They would be using him if they could. I don't believe that. I believe that there's legit. Now, I'm not saying that he hasn't been cleared and they're not smart.
Right.
They're smart enough to know we can't bring him back till after Royal Rumble.
Right.
They're just.
But I don't see the mistake.
I mean, unless you're bringing him out in the Rumble to win the Rumble, he does not. You don't even need to be talking about Daniel Bryan on air. Till after Royal Rumble.
What if, all right, let me throw this scenario at you. What if Daniel Bryan does come back in the Royal Rumble and you have Reigns turn heel on him to retain the belt? Or do you think they've invested too much in Reigns?
I think they've spent too much time building Reigns up to make him turn. Maybe I'm wrong, but they're spending a lot of TV time and stuff to get Reigns over.
At this point, you think Reigns is walking out of WrestleMania champ?
That's a tough call, but yeah, I think so. I think he's the guy they're going to run with.
Yeah.
And I think they're starting to realize that he is getting over, what they're doing is working. I thought Monday night, he threw Vince McMahon. He didn't throw Vince into Stephanie, but he threw him close enough to Stephanie that it knocked her down.
Yeah.
And he teased that he was going to like grab her by the hair and, or whatever. And then he was beating up a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
And it, to me, it all, and I, we texted about it a little bit.
Yeah.
He, it almost went too far.
Yeah.
With him coming off not like a, not a bad, like a bad person.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
he would be, even though this old man's.
Right. You know, he's still an old man.
He's still an old man. I mean, when I worked in the hospital, there would be times when old men would hit me or kick me or call me names, and you just, you have to let it go because what are you going to do? You're going to beat up an old man?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a notch on your belt you don't want.
Right. And it's definitely putting your hands on a woman of any age.
Right.
It's just not. That's not anything a man does.
No,
and it ain't the '90s anymore. In the '90s, if it was Steve Austin, and you can draw the parallels with Austin and McMahon, but McMahon was 15, 20 years younger.
That's exactly right.
And he wasn't much older than the guys that, whether people were, I mean, he wasn't. I mean, he's in his 50s, but so was Ric Flair, and he was still wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
And McMahon looks like he belongs in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, he does.
So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't far-fetched that he would get in a fight, and it wasn't that big a deal, but he's 70.
Yeah.
He's 70.
He is 70 years old, man.
I mean, just can't go
beat him. Dusty Rhodes just passed away at 69. Roddy Piper, not very much younger.
Yeah.
Than that, 64. And Vincent Mann is, and we know, okay, I mean, has McMahon, has he dealt with some bee stings, you think?
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. So we want to kind of set you up with that, and just we really want to talk about it. We would love your thoughts. There's been some just great, great discussions. I thought it was interesting, and I mentioned this on our Facebook group, that, you know, Raw did such a big angle with Roman Reigns on, with the title being on the line in the Rumble. But Tuesday morning, that wasn't the story. Tuesday morning, the story is these four guys have left. Then a little bit later on in the day, oh, my goodness, now Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, they have kicked AJ Styles out of the Bullet Club.
Right.
Kenny Omega has challenged Nakamura. And so it's like that just solidified these rumors.
And then yesterday you see – and this wasn't Finn Balor on his own. This was on WWE's website.
Yes.
And I posted it, and I think people thought, oh, well, Balor's going to get in trouble for that. No,
WWE's page
posted this, and that's where I got it from, of him wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt, holding the door open, looking at his watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
My question, I guess, out of that is first of all, can they use Bullet Club?
Right.
Can they legally?
Yeah.
Did Finn Balor, was that his creation? Because intellectual property in wrestling, it has been proven you can take your intellectual property with you.
Yes.
Which is why you could see guys, why Cactus Jack could call himself Dude Love, because even though he used it in WWE, it was his creation years before. Mm. And why you would see guys taking, you know, Honky Tonk Man, who was Honky Tonk Wayne Ferris.
Yeah.
Before he got there. Ultimate Warrior, who had a very famous lawsuit where he said, hey, I was creating this character before I got here.
And, yeah.
And there was a big lawsuit about him being able to, you can't use the word ultimate.
So he literally changed his name.
So he changes his name to Warrior, so they can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And he owned a lot of the mannerisms and the face paint and stuff. He was able to use that.
Yeah.
It was a big lawsuit, the Hall and Nash, when they represented themselves as Razor and Diesel without saying their names, and they were told you can't do that. If Finn Balor created the Bullet Club,
And I don't know that,
and I don't know who did.
Yeah,
I'm asking. I didn't, because you follow him a little more than I do, and I didn't know if you knew the answer to that.
I just know ain't nobody more over in wrestling worldwide right now than the Bullet Club.
They sell a lot of those t-shirts.
I'm gonna tell you what, it's the modern day NWO in terms of merchandise.
I think Heath.
I mean,
let's not oversell the Bullet Club t-shirts as being bigger than the NWO. No.
I'm saying for the time that we're in. I'm not saying they're bigger than what the NWO. I say in 2015, the Bullet Club t-shirt sales didn't obviously weren't more than what NWA.
Okay, well, that's what I thought you were saying.
No, no, no.
I was like,
I'm saying if you compare, oh man, NWO sold twice as many shirts. I'm saying Bullet Club sold so many more shirts than everybody else that it's comparable to how dominant.
Everybody else who's not in WWE. I don't think they sell as many T-shirts as John Cena did.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I think if you're talking about everybody outside of WWE and probably most people in WWE, truth be told, yes, I think they're a big selling T-shirt.
And part of that is you can go to a New Japan shirt, get a Bullet Club shirt. You can go to Ring of Honor, get a Bullet Club shirt. You can go to an independent show where a member of the Bullet Club is.
They were selling them like the Bullet Club. Some of the members, I think Amber O'Neil, the Bullet Babe, was selling T-shirts at WrestleKate.
I might have to get one of those.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to have one too.
Because I got an NWO shirt somewhere.
You know, I had an original Austin 316 shirt and I sold it.
Sold it?
Yeah, I wish I hadn't.
What do you mean you sold it?
I sold it.
Like at a yard sale or?
No, I sold it on eBay.
How much did you get for it?
I sold it with some other stuff. Like it was that and like a Stone Cold hat. I had a camouflage Stone Cold hat that somebody gave me. And a couple of figures, and I sold them for like $25 or $30. I mean, it wasn't. I didn't get rich off of it. I tell you what, I do have fixing to go on eBay. Yeah, though, way, way off subject.
That's all right.
I got a trunk full of Star Wars figures, and if I'm gonna sell them, now's the time.
Wait, are they in the box or out of the box?
Yeah, they're in the blister packs.
The originals.
Yeah.
Like from the '70s.
Yeah. No, no, they're not. They're remember the Power of the Force figures that came out back in the 90s? What?
Now's a good time to sell them, but I think everybody bought those and put them away. Have you seen the
Have you seen
the Saturday Night Live?
Do you have any?
Huh?
Do you have any of the Power of the Force figures?
I got Aunt Beru because I'd never seen her before, and then I got Slave Leia because...
I've probably got 5 or 6 of those Slave Leias. I got a bunch of Boba Fetts, a bunch of Han Solos, a bunch of Chewbaccas, a bunch of Darth Vaders, Luke Skywalkers, and all his various... That's a huge trunk full of figures, and what I'm saying is...
No, that's... Yeah.
If I'm going to sell them...
Now's the time.
Now's the time.
Let's save that.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get
that. That's a teaser.
There. Yeah, that's what you call foreshadow.
So, this episode...
Peter Griffin over there.
So, what we want to do in this episode is we want to recap...
Well, no, I'm not done yet. I'm not done with what we were talking about.
Okay.
We got off
track. You're going to sell Power of the Force figures?
No, I want to go back to the Bullet Club.
All right, Bullet Club.
Is the Bullet Club legally are they able? These are my two questions. And I know you don't know the answer. I just am wondering about this. Are they legally able to use Bullet Club as a gimmick in WWE? If they are, would they?
No.
Given the issues with gun control that are going on right now, and would they do it? And I think you're wrong to say no.
I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to say, it would be very surprising.
See, here's
if
what
they
I
used Bullet Club.
Why?
You're talking about now, publicly traded company.
Okay. Do you think
geared toward kids? They've gone PG. They won't let guys bleed.
True.
But they're going to do a thing called Bullet Club?
Well,
listen, I'm not saying I wouldn't love it, and I'm not saying I don't want it. I'm just saying from a stockholder's perspective.
Oh, get out of here with that stockholder's perspective stuff. Who owns AMC? Do you know?
AMC.
The movie, the TV channel.
Is that Time Warner? I don't know.
Okay, let's say it's Time Warner. That's a publicly traded company, right?
Right.
Well, the people that invest in Time Warner don't care that Breaking Bad was about a meth dealer.
True.
And they don't care that on The Walking Dead, Rick Grimes is pulling his .357 Magnum out and aiming it at everybody that questions him and shooting some of them. And I understand that's not marketed to children. What I'm saying is, what's the difference? Why do we? I could see Vince McMahon being 70 years old and the conservative that he seems to be saying, you know what, we're going to call it the Bullet Club because if they don't like it, it's just going to get them talking about
it. If he's smart, especially with the Second Amendment debate going on now, it would be money.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To me, like, why not do it? And then if you got to change the name, you change the name. If your stockholders are upset,
I think the stockholders ain't gonna care about that.
Care about making money. People with enough money to buy enough stock to have enough clout to influence them care about making money. They don't care about your rights and my rights of free speech or bear arms or religion or whatever. They don't care. They care about money and if it's green.
If they bring out Bullet Club and they pop a 3.5, 3.7, a 4.0 on the rating, it's a done deal. You know what I'm saying?
That's all they care about.
If they're getting good ratings, they're
making more money. Here's what they're worried about. If we do the Bullet Club gimmick, what's Coca-Cola going to say about that?
Right.
That's who they're interested in talking to.
The thing with the Bullet Club is I don't think that's owned by any wrestling company.
I don't either.
I think it's owned by those guys.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Ring of Honor gets a cut of it. If you buy a Bullet Club shirt off Ring of Honor site, Ring of Honor's getting a cut. You buy a Bullet Club shirt off of Pro Wrestling Tees, New Japan's getting a cut. But I think those guys created that.
I think that's a bigger issue of why it won't happen.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you still can. Everybody knows that they were a faction.
Yeah.
So you can still put them together and give them another name.
Yeah, and I think...
But I don't care. I think that the reason they signed those guys is they saw their license to print money with those T-shirts. They see people wearing those T-shirts everywhere, and they're looking to get in on that. That's what Vince McMahon cares about. This whole idea that people got... That Vince McMahon cares about the quality of the matches or whether you like somebody or you don't. He is interested in selling dolls and T-shirts and foam fingers. That's where he makes his money.
That's right.
That's what he cares about.
Yeah.
So when he sees those guys selling T-shirts and selling a lot of T-shirts and they're everywhere. Every time you go to a wrestling show, from an independent show to Survivor Series, I see a Bullet Club T-shirt.
Yeah, and those I would love to see the numbers on the Balor Club.
Right.
So yeah, to me, they've almost told you what they're going to do.
They planted a seed.
Yes.
Like you said, the Balor Club. Exactly. So I don't know that. Maybe it is. Let's have AJ Styles and these guys back up Finn Balor, and him be the focal point of it. But I don't know.
This is what I'm saying. Like to me, and this is where I do. This is where I don't trust Vince, but I do trust Triple H in some ways. Because here's what Triple H would do. Triple H would bring in these guys, do the right thing with them, but then he's going to pull a Dusty and insert himself into the picture.
Oh, no doubt.
So it's kind of a...
See, I think this is what I said 2 years ago when they did away with the Authority. They should have kept them off and then had like the Bullet Club come in, do an invasion at Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And then Triple H comes out as the guy who gets to save the company.
Yes.
That's where I would go with it. I mean, and have him go to Roman Reigns with his hat in his hand and have to earn their respect.
Yeah.
With some things. They shouldn't trust him to begin with. It shouldn't just be he says, I'm sorry, and we move on. But they should have to go and really make an effort to prove that they're good people to these guys and get them to join forces to stop the Bullet Club from taking over this company.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they've worked an agreement with New Japan Wrestling and they can bring in and do a deal where New Japan guys come in.
Well, it's apparent that they've got some sort of relationship with New Japan.
Yeah.
Because you had...
Jushin Liger worked in it.
Jushin Liger, and then who went in the Hall of Fame last year? Fujinami?
Tatsumi Fujinami.
And
they've inducted Inoki.
This is what's great about wrestling. Like, you don't know what's going to happen.
And that's what's great about this time.
Your hopes are high.
Right.
Your hopes are high. They have hooked me. I'm hooked. You got me, guys. You got me. I'm going to give you 3 months.
It's going to be good promotion.
Good promotion.
Manage your expectations, man.
I know. I can't.
Because I promise you, when you hear tinka tinka tink 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 tink, and Nakamura comes out, wearing a kimono or dressed up like a samurai, just remember, maybe they won't. Maybe Triple H is going to get behind this thing and say, no, we're not changing this. We're not going to call him Mr. Moto.
What was it? What was
there
it?
Again, don't get mad at me. I'm not being a racist. I'm basing this on what I've seen Vince McMahon do.
We've seen the track record.
With Orientals.
Listen.
With Asian Americans, whatever.
Coleman said it best. Our show. He said, listen, the reason I'm still wrestling in places like this is I didn't want to be a rapper. What did he say?
I wasn't going to play a rapper, a dancer, or a thief.
Yeah. And
I feel sometimes we're like when George on Seinfeld, when they were talking about race, and he goes, are we supposed to be talking about this? I feel like that. But it's true. I mean, I'm the furthest thing from a racist or a bigot.
Yeah.
I'm just basing what I've seen, the way I have seen WWE handle minorities, whether they be Asians, whether they be African Americans, whether they be Mexicans, whatever.
And wrestling in general.
This is a company who had a gimmick for 3 Mexican guys where they rode out on a lawnmower. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what I'm basing my opinions on how I'm afraid that they're... Listen, I've seen the way he's handled Southern people, and AJ Styles has got a Southern accent. So who knows?
Oh, man.
I don't listen to a lot of other wrestling podcasts, and I hated when I heard these guys say it because I wanted to say it.
Yeah.
And then I heard these guys say it, and I went, God, now I can't really say what I want to say, so I'm going to give them the credit for it.
Yeah.
It was the Katie Vick is Alive Alive podcast,
yeah,
which I enjoy. And they talked. And by the way, they stole our gimmick of Bob Caudle at the end of their show.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think they stole it from us because I don't think they're aware that we exist.
Right.
But they do have Bob Caudle. But just so everybody knows, if you hear Bob Caudle at the end of their show, they lifted that audio from the television. The audio of Bob Caudle and Lance Russell on our show was spoken into our microphones by Bob Caudle and Lance Russell.
Good personal friends of ours.
Where we asked permission to use it at the beginning and end of our show, and they said it was okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to throw that out there. Yeah. That Bob Caudle at the end of our show was Bob Caudle after he said, what's a podcast?
It's a
radio show, Mr. Caudle. And he goes, I'll be happy to.
And Mrs. Caudle said, oh, he'd love to do it.
Yeah. She said, you guys are from Liberty.
I've actually spoken to her more than him.
Yeah, probably so. Because
when I saw him at WrestleCade, he was taking a swig of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Just as I went to ask him a question, and Miss Caudle answered all the questions, and I wasn't there long enough, and he finished his swig and just kind of shook his head.
He was smart enough to know he's going to ask me a question, and he ain't planning on paying me anything. So he faked drinking his Diet Coke the whole time you talked.
Did Bob Caudle work me?
I think he may have. And she answered everything, and then you got done, and he went, yep. That's pretty good. He's an old pro. But anyway, it wouldn't surprise me to see him and this is Katie Vick Alive Alive. Yeah. They said it even though I was going to say it.
Yeah.
And I wished I hadn't listened to their show. That it wouldn't surprise me if they put AJ Styles with Hillbilly Jim.
Oh, my goodness. So what if Vince looked at AJ Styles and was like, why do we need him? We already have Heath Slater.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not even get into the whole... The Job Squad 2016.
I missed that. That wasn't in the Hulu.
That
tells you what they think about that. I heard about it, but...
That tells you where it's going.
That's why I like the Hulu show. I don't have to watch all that ridiculous stuff.
All the replays and...
I generally get the couple of good matches and the good promos from the main guys.
All right.
Now that we're pretty much done talking about wrestling...
We're going to move on. We want to tell
you. We've done 45 minutes on wrestling.
We've done pretty much a whole episode.
Yeah,
who knows where we're going to go. That's all right. Hey, this is Heath, and I went back and did some editing so you could have this great episode of the Double Dropkick Show, our best of 2015. We'll be coming at you next week, so don't forget to go to doubledropkick.com. You need to download us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Find us on Facebook, the Double Dropkick Show page. Click the like button. Just do it. Also, you can go to our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, and let us know your thoughts on these WWE signings, what's going on in New Japan, what's the future for all this, what do you expect, you know, what are the surprises going to be, is anybody going to show up at the Royal Rumble? You can find me on Twitter at Heath Mulliken, Mark's at The DDK Show. Thanks for listening today. We are looking forward to an amazing 2016. I'm jumping off here to get ready for the national championship game. Go Tigers. And as for always, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.